as a person, you know, if people don't know me, I'm one of the most jealous guys you'll ever meet.
Okay.
It's a disease you have, you know. Like, whenever I look at something doing better than me, I can't take it.
What was the revenue last year, Sam?
That's 250 crores.
Amazing.
And we are completely white, so I'm hoping to declare everything.
In today's episode of Grow Your Influence, we have a very famous Sam Paul, who runs Paulson's Crew. He is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, he's an actor, and he wears multiple different hats. He runs salons, gyms, hotels, and many other outlets out there which you see on the screen right now. And today we're going to have him on the podcast. So let's check this out. Sam, first of all, joining on this program, and I'm so excited, very inspired also by you, because I've always seen you work really hard. You run colleges, schools, restaurants, salons, gyms, and even ice cream parlors. So much diversity. How?
I think that's the person I am, actually. I've been telling this to everybody. I mean, a lot of people ask me, why are you diversifying so much? And I think I like new challenges. I like to face new challenges. I like to do things very different. And it doesn't matter, actually, what you do, actually, to be honest. If you do the same thing also, I've known a lot of people who develop the same brand across. And that's inspiring as well. But if you want to diversify, I think that basically stems out of the person you are. Whether you want to accept more challenges and to try new things and to keep you more motivated, rather.
Right. So you basically say that you take one challenge every year, one new challenge every year.
Not that easy also, right? I mean, because you want to do a professional job. It's not like you can always take up all the challenges and win all the challenges. We try to.
Okay.
But right, we are running out of challenges also, because the problem is we are in most of the sectors right now.
Wow. So, as an entrepreneur, what are your top three values that has helped you in your journey by far?
I think discipline is the first thing. You know, you have to be disciplined. Discipline not only is for getting up in the morning, going to work, and all these. So, we define discipline as finishing your work on the same day. That day's work has to be completed the day before you leave the office. That's how I define discipline. It's not about going to shave to the office or being well-dressed and all this matters a little bit, but I think the most important thing is to be very correct at your work. You know, the second most important discipline is also financial discipline. You know, you have to be very well planned with your finance and everything, so that especially when you're diversifying and when you're expanding, you do not want to play with money that, you know, which is needed for the company and stuff like that. So financially you have to be very well planned and disciplined. So this discipline is the first part. The second most important thing is consistency. I always say this, you know, if you're looking at consistency, I think they look at fire and they say fire is the most destructive element. Actually, I disagree with many people. I say water is the most destructive element. You know, the water coming out of an air conditioner, that drop by drop will break a concrete. So consistent, same place. So your consistency is most important, because some people just blow very hot for a certain period, and after 2-3 weeks, they just get bored. But being consistent across, doing the same thing, even if you get bored, and you know, which is very important. That's the second most important quality. Third most important quality is ethics. You know, you have to pay your taxes. You have to pay everything on time. You have to pay your staff the right wages. You have to give them all the right increments. They should be happy. Indirectly, you become happy. You know, ethically, a lot of people, when we started business, they say, why do you have to pay everything in white? Why do you have to show that? This is across India, I'm sure, not limited to any particular community. But the minute you do that, you cannot expand freely. You are 24 hours, your mind is caught up in nonsense. So the idea is to make sure that you expand, and the only way you're going to expand is by being very ethical in everything you do, and even with your customers and the service you're offering, and even with your vendors, everything, your landlords, with your banks, everything, you have to be very ethical.
Right. Who inspired you to follow this path of entrepreneurship?
I think it was a childhood dream, actually. Rather, I've seen my father work, and you know, I've seen him work. I've seen the goods in him. I've seen the bads in him. I thought maybe I have to be a little more different, you know. So I think I had that opportunity to look at somebody and say, I want to become like this, but I want to be a little different to what this is, the way things are being done right now. So I think one big inspiration is my father, of course. And of course, I look at a lot of other people also, how they do business, you know. Right. There are some people who they change the game completely, like the way Michael Jordan changed the game, you know. In 84, when everybody was in Converse, he went to Nike, which was a ladies' jogging shoe. And he said, I'll tie up with you in the sense that you give me a percentage of the sales, which was never done before. You know, you look at the game and you change the game. So I think I look at such people like who are exceptionally good at the business also, you know.
Right. Amazing. After years of hard work, people know you as a franchisee king now. But how did it all begin for you? What was the starting point for this?
I think the starting point, see, to be honest, I started from scratch, you know, because I had a small tiff with my dad and I think I left my house in 2004, if I'm not mistaken. So I finished my BME, that was in 2001. I was working with my dad for 1 or 2 years. And then 2003, I moved out. I couldn't, because we had a lot of, we were very similar in certain things, but we were, our thought process was very different. I was very aggressively, I wanted to expand.
Right.
He was in a stage where he was more docile and he was quite happy where he was and he didn't want to expand at that rate. And then we had a lot of disagreements. So I moved out. So I opened a small restaurant. So I think initial urge for anybody to start a business or anything is majorly survival rather than, nobody would have thought, oh, this company would become so big or so many employees would be working. But there was always a dream for me. You know, it was not about money. You know, and this I will proudly tell anyone, I've never went after money in my life. I never, and nobody should go after money because it's not a very pure thought to have money as your priority. For me, generating so much employment right now, for example, we have 7,500 people for us.
7,500 people working with you.
Right, across. And the most important thing is, even if we find that someone is now not useful in the system, we still don't send them out. We try to use them somewhere else. We have never dismissed anybody and said, get out or anything. Like, unless, of course, there's some theft involved or some major problems involved. You know. Otherwise, if you look at the entire company, it's a company which has almost 0% attrition. People who have been with us since 2009 are still with us throughout. Yeah, so I think the aim has to be pure.
I think it's the culture of the company that you have built.
Right.
I think
it's the start was always, you know, anybody who, any big entrepreneur will tell you it's just a survival. For them, it's getting your next meal and that's how it all starts. And then if God's grace and luck is there, then possibly you could go up it.
Right. So this whole idea of starting the franchisee, like you said, you started with a restaurant. And your idea was to survive because you had disagreements with your dad and you moved out. So when did you think, okay, let's make it big. Let's just go in the franchisee way. What was that ideal pivoting point? Because many entrepreneurs don't know when should they really call for franchisee opportunity or give that. Like, what do we really get? How do we do that, basically?
So the first restaurant I started was a franchisee also. It was called Casa Piccola.
Right.
Casa Piccola was a very famous homegrown brand in Bangalore. So they were exceptionally good food and
Casa Piccola in the Khadir Nawaz Khan Road, is it?
That was mine.
Oh, lovely.
That was my first business also.
On the first floor, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Lovely. Oh, I didn't know that it was yours. Okay.
This was the first business I started. It was a franchise he took from one Mr. Bhushan Oberoi, one of my biggest gurus that time, how to do business.
Nice.
Very calm, man. And see, if you meet some people will inspire you with confidence. Some people inspire. This man, there's a serene calmness around him. Whenever we are with him, you forget everything and you think, why are we running so much when we have to relax a lot, you know? So very nice gentleman. He taught me so much about business. So we ran it for 6 years and then the tenancy ran out and then we had to give it to the landlord and come back. So that was my first business. So why franchisee is because, I mean, to be very honest, as an educated person, I look at in the entire entrepreneurial journey very differently. Because a lot of people say, I love good food, so I'm competent to start a restaurant, which is the biggest mistake you can ever make, you know. I like good food, I mean, so I can open a restaurant. It's not that easy.
True.
My mom is a good cook, I can open a restaurant. There's so many things, nuances, which you need to learn. Because restaurant business is one of the toughest business you'll ever get.
Right.
And to make money out of restaurant business, then you have to be a king. Yeah, you have to be really good at it because there's a lot of consistency, there's a lot of shelf life, there's a lot of issues that keep coming.
I'm sure. It's management at every sector.
If you're a young entrepreneur who has no business sense, or rather I would say no business experience, then just to wildly get into business, your winning chance is just 1% to 2%. Either you work in a company, understand what it is all about, then start on your own, or you can take a franchisee where complete knowledge transfer is done. Yeah.
Right. Cool. So that's a great idea, especially a lot of people who don't, they want to become an entrepreneur, but they don't know how to go about it. And I believe your systems are so strongly built and it's easy to take your franchisee and just follow those systems out
right.
there. I see you are one of the biggest taxpayers in the Kilpark area of Chennai. What's your biggest lesson from this discipline that you have been following?
We are one of the biggest. In fact, last 3 years, we got an award right back there.
Wow.
So for Zone 5 for GST. And
do we get awards for being the biggest taxpayers?
Not the biggest, but on the timely and biggest taxpayers. Last 3 years, we got awards. Yeah, last 3 years.
Oh, I didn't know this. Okay, yeah. Good.
So the thing is, we have increased also. Every year we have increased. And I call the GST Assistant Commissioner and ask her, Madam, this year, are we going to be biggest? I think there's one guy who's always, because that's a very... a big steel milling role, because that's a big, huge industry where his main office is here. So him and me compete, but we're going to beat him this year. So because that's nice. That's for sure, because I don't like to go back on my challenges. But the thing is, I think that ethics is very important. You know, you pay your taxes and you pay your taxes on time, on full. Because a lot of people tell me that, you know, the roads are so bad, this is so bad, the government is not doing anything. I think that's the most foolish way to look at things, you know. The government is doing a lot of things for you, and it's just that India is such a vast country with so much differences and so much diversity, and that you have to really understand where you're coming from when you look at it. The government is doing a lot of things for you, especially the new regime is doing a fantastic job in the center. I think India is growing at a fantastic pace, and you not paying taxes is indirectly putting you into problem in the future.
Right.
If you don't pay your taxes in full, and people know, I mean, they all know that you're cutting on your corners, and they're going to come after you in no time. So it's better you pay your taxes and in full and by the prescribed formats.
Beautiful. That's a great thought. You know, for a very short, I mean, you still wear the politician hat of yours. What made you get there? Like, what was your ideology behind becoming a politician?
I think it stems from my mother again. I think she was a doctor from CMC Vellore. Then I think she was a deputy director in Port Trust Hospital, which was the biggest hospital back in the day before Apollo.
Right.
And then she resigned the job and she served in 40 years in an orphanage. Now I would look at politics as an arena to serve,
true,
not to earn money. And that's a very different thing. When I get into politics, people are like, "Are you trying to protect your money? Are you trying to earn more?" And I'm like, "Look at the foolish way they look at things. This is an opportunity to serve."
True.
Yeah, to make Chennai the best city, possibly not only in South in Asia, possibly. Yeah, why not? Somebody like me will take it to the next level, push it up a notch.
Right.
I mean, we understand things. We understand what is good. We understand how to hold the culture yet. But we should also be... The quality of politicians which I look at is really bad. And especially in 2015 when we worked with floods, almost 25,000 people worked with us. In and around entire Chennai, they came, volunteered with us. And I really thought we can do good service. And that's what prompted me to get into politics.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I won't give up. Don't worry. I'm going to be right there.
You will win someday.
Someday. And if I do win, things will change.
True.
This nonsense where you have, for death certificate, you pay $1,000. For a death certificate. My teacher the other day called me. She's around 70, I presume. I mean, my teacher, but she used to teach English for me. And her mother was 95, she passed away. Apparently, the Tahsildar refused to give the certificate without some 10,000 bribe. Imagine, for a death certificate for a 95-year-old lady, they're making them run left and right.
Right.
Can you file a small complaint today and get an FIR? Unless you know somebody.
True. That's not easy.
Somebody has to clean the shit up, you know. Somebody has to say, file. There are rules. People are not following the rules. Somebody has to get everything transparent.
True.
All these admissions, to people taking donations, everything has to stop.
True. I think
there's so many things to really work on where we can take it to the next level.
Right. Amazing. Some great thoughts there. Hot-headed yet kind-hearted. You are a beast. And what's your work-life balance like?
See, I mean, to be very honest, there's no work-life balance at all. It is just work. And the life revolves around your work. I keep telling my staff also, I have nothing except this work in my life, you know. I have children, I have lovely children, I have a lovely wife, and I have a lovely family. But the problem is, morning you wake up thinking about work.
True.
Night you sleep thinking about work.
True.
You dream about work. You know, everything is work, just work for me. I mean, so 24 hours it's work, you know.
I think that's every entrepreneur,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you're growing and I look at a lot of people and say, you know, I work 9 to 5, and it doesn't work that way in India. I mean, unless you're willing to sacrifice, you know, a big sacrifice has to be done, you know. I know a lot of people when they used to party, and I was 21 when I first started out, somewhere 20, 21, 22, maybe started. And there's not a single party I can go. I couldn't drink, I couldn't smoke, I couldn't have any fun with all these people. I was working.
Right.
I was working. Today I'm here because I was working all the time.
True. You built your empire because you worked hard, really hard.
Yeah,
in your
25 years, not even a single day holiday. You cannot switch off your phone in the last 25 years. And this is morning 6 to evening 2 o'clock, where you reply to all the calls, you call them back, you talk to everybody who messages you. And that's a huge sacrifice, which I feel, which is very necessary for you to succeed in an
organization. I think that sacrifice has helped you employ 7,500 people. You're taking care of so many families. So congratulations.
I mean, yeah, God's grace. Yeah, because, and that was not just employment, it's sustainable employment, where people are not saying, I come here, I'm on a temporary vacation here, then I'm moving to the next level. But you look at young boys who are joining at 25,000, 30,000, earning 2.5 lakh rupees, right. 3 lakh rupees, buying houses. Young kids, you know, who I've seen, I use it, driving BMWs right now in my company. And I'm like, that's a good thing.
Right, amazing. You're hardcore into gymming, right? And I mean, you always say that your body is the temple. Right. What's the ideology behind that?
I think gymming comes from my dad again. He used to be an avid gymmer, because back in the day, it's not like gymming the way gym is taken up right now. Back in the day when I used to start gymming, like me and actor Sarath Kumar used to gym together. So Anna, because they used to think that, you know, if you're a gymmer, you're a rowdy fellow. Even you're big, like when you're over 100 kilos. And I used to be 100. I competed in bodybuilding, Mr. Madras University at plus 100. I was the only guy there. So. But the gym is very different. I mean, most people who go to gym are very soft-spoken.
Right.
They're very, what is the right word?
They're very soft.
They're more disciplined.
They're more sorted in the head.
Right. They're very disciplined people, because they wake up on time. Because gymming is not like any other sport. It's a lifestyle change where you need to, you know, it's not easy just going lifting 200 kilos from left to right and keeping it there from here. And it's not easy doing it every day, you know.
Right.
So I think the discipline which I have right now is coming from there. You know, I tell a lot of people I don't drink or smoke. But I tell people, I mean, if you're able to, please avoid smoking because it's really bad for health. But drinking, I mean, I know a lot of people like Anglo-Indians and a lot of people, it's there in their culture where they started childhood. But it's not in my Tamil culture at all.
True. It's not in genetics.
People who, yeah, it's not in our culture. And we do not know how to enjoy the drink. Where do you stop it? I know people who say, take a drink and say, no, I can waste the drink, but I can't waste my health. But our people, they'll swallow the entire bottle, you know.
True.
So where do you stop?
True.
Right, so I think this gymming has given me that discipline to avoid all this nonsense, concentrate on health.
I think that's very inspiring there. I see a major reason for your success or fast growth has been building a franchise system. And what does it take for a business owner to create a franchisee model? Like, you know, for example, let's say Slam for that matter. You started Slam Fitness and then you built a franchisee model. So what does it take? Like, what is the process? Who do we approach? A lot of people don't know, how do we go about that.
Right. So Paulsons is a brand operating company. We operate various brands like Tony Guy Essentials, now Slam, Jonas and various other brands. Punusami right now, yeah. So Haagen-Dazs. So whether you understand your business very well is very important. See, for example, a lot of people don't understand their business. They make money out of the business. They make, like, say, this month. See, December is a good month. So you make a little more money. January is a very decent month. Then February, March, exams start. Then there's a dip in the business. Mm. They don't really understand what's happening.
Mm.
Most of them are just circulating money. They take 10 lakh rupees from here, pay all the vendors, and that 1 lakh rupees, something there. But are you solidly making a profit?
True.
Are you solidly having space to say that, okay, there's a 20% margin. I'm going to teach this business up to someone else. There's a lot of demand for this. I take a 5% cut from their business back.
Mm.
But is there space for it? They don't understand this. They might be making 10% out. And if they take 5% out, out all the ROI and all the other problems, they make nothing out of it. So I think whether you understand the business very well, whether you're in grip of it, then comes the legal proceedings and everything. So the best way to franchise out is to understand how the master franchising concept works.
Right.
Where you approach people like when we set up the model for you completely.
Okay.
We would set up the model where you can be able to expand it much faster. Where we set up all the legal precedents. We have an entire team for monitoring what they're doing.
Wow.
A to Z.
So I didn't know you help people in setting up master franchisee models.
We do that. In fact, we have signed up with a lot of brands for master franchising out right now, because they would love to give it to us itself.
Okay.
So we have been talking to a lot of brands in that way to come. There's a lot of businesses in India which, see, for example, I would very strongly say that if you do not expand, you perish.
Right.
In this market.
Hmm.
See, the shelf life is very important in any business. For example, restaurants I don't see more than 3 years of shelf life.
True.
The businesses which were doing very well 3 years back are not doing well now.
Right.
3 years back, these restaurants would have been top of your line. First thing you'll ever think about is that restaurant. 3 years later, you're like, where is that restaurant now? I mean, this has been common to across all the restaurants. Big brands like Punnusami, Anjappa's, and all these brands have gone down.
True.
Right? But so.
And what do you think would be the reason for the downfall?
See, this is the dedication part which we talk about. This is two other values which I didn't talk about. Discipline, loyalty and ethics. I spoke about discipline consistently in ethics. Dedication and loyalty is also very important. Dedication is where you keep innovating in your business. You go to Tony Guy, the haircut which you had 10 years back is not the same haircut you're having right now. We all change our look and feel.
Absolutely. Right?
So there's continuous training that is involved. The products have changed so much. You need to innovate on the products. I can't keep using the same outdated stuff which I'm, you know. Same thing with restaurants also. There's a lot of new things that are coming up in which people want to taste. Like, you know, back in the day, it was just rice. Now it's about all the new kind of organic rices that are coming. Then like this, that, and you know. So how do you experiment, you know? And are you able to keep innovating? That is very important for the business to survive also. And I think the lack of innovation and, for example, every 5 years, all the Tonian guys and every slam, I'm sure you're part of the customer chain. We keep...
You keep evolving.
Not only evolving, we keep renovating all our outlets completely after 5 years. Maintenance is done every month. Even if there's a small scratch, I get the entire thing changed. So all this adds to the customer experience. And the minute you lost your focus on the customer experience, you lose the game.
True. So you mean to
say... However big you are.
True. I think a lot of them just were busy making money and they didn't...
Correct. Yeah. They did not invest it back into the business. Many big brands, I can name a lot. You know, I keep telling my staff during our reviews, look at all of them before us. Today we are on the top of our game. What would not make us in the next 10 years to go there?
True.
And that is the only thing we keep expanding. We have a huge expansion plan, you know. Right now we are at 535 outlets, retail outlets, and we have another 137 projects in opening.
Wow.
Yeah, God's grace, yeah.
Brilliant. I think madness, I would say. I also feel that franchisee dilutes the brand identity somewhere. Would you agree, disagree to this?
I would 50% agree, 50% disagree also. I'll tell you why. But, see, because a lot of franchisees you meet don't share the vision you have.
True.
They don't think that, you know, they need to expand, they need to sustain this business. They're trying to invest money and take money out. I know a lot of kids, like, you know, having rich dads, you know, investing money. There's no fire in them. There's no calling in them to make that money.
Wow.
There's no the beast mode is not there.
True.
Right, they are very relaxed. They think this is nilgiris where they just invest the money, you know. Even in nilgiris, somebody was telling me you can't make money like that. There's a lot of pilferage involved, you know.
True.
So every business has its own nuances, as I said.
Right.
So I think that way but there are places where you were not able to reach. For example, Coimbatore, we have around 20-25 outlets right now. Would I have from Paulson's gone and established an outlet there? Today we do decent service. These people, the franchisees, though initially they have not like Paulson's outlets, where initially itself it's that kind of quality. Eventually they learn the business over a period of 2-3 years, you know. And this is where the saloons have that kind of space for you to make that mistake, where you can come back, unlike restaurants, which they don't forgive you that easily. Yeah, so I mean, so franchising, if done very carefully, is quite okay. Especially you look at McDonald's and all, and KFC and...
Also, you need to be entrepreneur at heart when you're taking a franchisee.
Yeah, at heart, at your... But the thing is, the work thing, the ethics should be there. See, some people, the biggest problem is... I tell people that, you know, Saurabh Jain is one of the biggest... and I want to learn how to do this, how to promote yourself in the business. And I think you're doing a fantastic job. I keep telling people, I love working with him because he understands the business. He keeps innovating, changing things. But I've never had a sense of saying that I know it all.
Right.
Oh, what do you know? I mean, that attitude is never with me. For me, even if I get angry, it is about getting work done. I never say I know it all.
Right.
You can learn so many things, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I can learn from you. You can learn from me. I mean, I'm sure we can share something that is useful for both of us. But a lot of kids, a lot of people I know think that they know it all. And that is where, that kind of franchisees where to break their mentality in that area and then to get into their head and make them understand that this is where they're doing their mistake is a very tough challenge for them.
Mm, beautiful. What are some of the top 5 reasons people should take a franchisee instead of starting their own business?
One is complete transfer of knowledge, you know, because this is a business you don't know about it. For example, when you make biryani, and this I learned after, but we took a Punnusamy franchise in 2000. Now we are almost heading the master franchise of the brand. So in 2008, when we took, we used to put all the mutton into the biryani. And the thing is, that biryani is going to cost you $500 because you're putting 2 kilos mutton. Most of the mutton melts away by the time the biryani is done. So the mutton, so what these Punnusamy fellows do, they'll cook the biryani with bones. All right, where all the marrow and everything mixes with the biryani. And they put the mutton just half an hour before the maturing of the biryani. That way the mutton survives. So you can get it done with 1 kilo itself. See, that biryani is going to cost you $180. You understand? Now, if you're rich biryani, if you're going to do a marriage where people don't really look at the money, then you put 2 kilos in the biryani. Let the mutton melt into the biryani, which is very level. But you should also understand the financial reasoning aspect behind the aspect of it.
You,
yeah, aspect
you need
of
to
it.
Make money at the end of the day.
Right. So this is where you lose the money. So these kind of things only a franchise model can teach you. Or you should have been in this business working under someone for 5 to 10 years, then start a small thing on your own, then expand.
Right.
Which is a longer process. So these kind of nuances are taught and knowledge transfer is given.
Right.
Second thing I would say is the training process, because training, continuous training will be there for you. Product discounts. See, from like Tony, if you were taking a franchise or Tony, we get around 40% to 60% discounts on all the products. If you were to tie up, because such a big conglomerate and we're tying up with somebody, if you were to tie up, they're going to give you 15% to 20% discounts.
15% to 20%.
Yeah, so you're going to make a big discount to them.
Right, and that's important.
Then handholding also, continuous monitoring of the business, what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. Helping you with legal complications also. There are a lot of legal complications, and India is a very, very complicated market also. There are a lot of people trying to threaten everybody out in and out here.
Wow.
So how to, so there's a lot more reasons I can give you, but these are 5 of them off my
And I think it's also about setting up the infrastructure and the standards.
We give you guidance and everything. That's what complete knowledge transfer is given from day one.
Okay,
complete
super.
Layouts, design aspects, how to place each and every, because we have made the mistakes and we have understood the flow of the entire place. Like if you go to Slam Gym, you finish your chest, lats, then there's shoulders, then there's your bite try, then goes to the legs. Because a lot of people try to avoid legs. So if you put the legs along with your chest, the entire setup is a little off. So you understand the business better when eventually you've done this mistake and you've corrected it.
Got it. Beautiful. Since you have the largest chain of salons in the city, I want to know, if someone has to start a salon business, what are top few things they need to really focus on? Because a lot of people can't take franchisee, but they're starting up with the salons. So to those entrepreneurs, what would be your advice?
First, you should have experience in the business, which is very important, because it, like every other business, each business, unless you have experience, is a very tough business.
True.
Even there are times with our experience, we have put up in certain areas and we have not, it's not picked up to the kind of level. It takes a lot longer time, you know, than what we imagined.
Right.
All right. So it's experience is a must for any business. Second most important, good staff and training is a must. So if you are not operating out of any franchise brand and doing it on your own, then this is going to be a big challenge for you. Third thing, what is the kind of franchisee challenge, which I would say the most important thing is good placement in nice prime property. Now, the challenge in that is, if you go to a prime area, then you're competing with Tony and guys and all the big brands. Right?
Right.
If you leave the prime area and go to a fight, then you're looking at business, whether that kind of business is going to help you survive. So these are the kind of things you have to have in your mind before starting a salon.
True. Amazing. How can someone overcome the challenge of staffing in the salon business, which I believe is the biggest challenge of the industry at the moment?
I don't think that is a big challenge for us, because we have almost zero attrition. As I said, I think the number of staff that would have left us, that hairdressers would have left us in the last, that is the company-owned outlets, I would say, in the last 13 years is less than 12. And many of them, 5 of them have opened their own outlets with us, Essentials.
Mm.
And 3 or 4 have moved to US. And I mean, you Canada and rest of countries, of course. But the biggest challenge would be to keep them happy. Like, you know, see, a lot of people think that, you know, oh, they're barbers or something like that. But here, we treat them as real artists. They're kept very happy. Many of them, this month, I know a guy.
They style very well also, I see, they themselves.
But the thing is, I don't get appointments in Tony Gai because I'm so busy. You know, I get someone to come here and do it for me here. Yeah.
Wow, lucky. Yeah.
So the thing is, and going there is a big pain, you know, because you have to make appointments on all this. Yeah. And then they'll be like, oh, boss is here. Then they're all there. So I don't want to make them feel uneasy also.
Right.
But the thing is, I have seen a lot of people. This month, a boy called Chidambaram in our Besanagar branch, Essentials actually, has done 7 lakh rupees business and have taken over 3 lakh rupees salary, plus incentives and all, like your product incentives and everything. When you look at this kind of business, and if you're able to earn 3 lakh rupees more direct amount as a profit or as a salary, then why would you want to open something on your own? You could rather work with us. Everything is us.
True.
The headache of rental, EB, products, licensing, taxes, everything is ours.
Amazing.
So I think pay them well, keep them happy, treat them with respect. I think they're going to be with you for a long time.
Super. I think that's very rare to find in the salon industry.
We have almost zero attrition.
Amazing. Beautiful. A lot of people don't understand the difference between Tony and Guy and Essentials by Tony and Guy. Like they get confused most times. Which one is premium?
See, Tony and Guy is a very niche brand, very niche brand. We have placed it in a very luxury niche product, not a super luxury brand. We have placed it as a very luxury niche brand where you can go get yourself a haircut, finish it fast and go home. You know, that kind of Essentials is more of a neighborhood affordable salon, right? Tony and Guy is more of a specialty salon, right? That's how we are placed right now. But the kind of customers, you know, we kind of get mingled in both the places. And, you know, it's very tough to do branding and say, oh, this is different, that is different. So, see, the training in the salons is more, almost same. It's no big difference because in Tony and Guy, we have around 18 haircuts, but out of which 6 haircuts are short haircuts for women. Because in India, that is not a big demand. That's not something, especially in Tamil Nadu, where women are used for the longer haircuts, I presume. I think maybe Northeast and Kerala. And there are some places where women prefer short haircuts. But I can't see anybody, none of my sisters or anybody. My sister is now in short haircut. But these are specialty haircuts where Tony Guy is trained for. Essentials is more like into 8 or 9 haircuts. Basically, all the normal haircuts are trained with them.
Okay, super. So you boost a single reel for ₹50,000 on the weekend. I've seen this as your best practice. How does it help your salon business?
I think it's more of a branding exercise right now. I think you told me a long time back, you know, only the organic growth is the best growth. And, you know, we are right now concentrating on that. We are doing a lot of collaborations and a lot more. And we are also asking all the individual outlets to post something and boost so that we get multiple content into the air. But I think the quality of content is most important than boosting it. And for me, the boosting is just to make sure that there's visibility there and people know that there is being visible. Of course, the quality of content from where we started to where we are right now, is much improved.
Massively different.
Yeah, but I think there's much more growth also that can. So we're working towards it. I think our new guy is doing a fantastic job. But the thing is, I don't think it makes a major difference you putting 50,000 or 1 lakh, but I think it's more of a branding exercise right now, where rather than specifically lead generation, I think that's where it is.
Super. How many people are employed under the Paulsons Group right now? I think you've answered 7,500 people. And when you started this at the age of 21 to your journey now, how old are you now, Sam?
I'm 45. I'm going to be 46 next Sunday. Yeah, but 22 at heart.
So in total, how many outlets?
My email is still sample22, yeah.
Sample22. Nice. Okay, still 22 at heart. But how many outlets in total?
Much stronger than a 22-year-old. Huh? Much stronger.
I know that. Okay. How many outlets in total all over India restaurants, salons?
We have various brands, right? We have 535 retail outlets in Paulsons. We have around 10 hotels that is in a hotel company. And there is 137 retail outlets in that company also that we have franchised out.
We have 137 what?
Retail outlets again in a different company.
Okay.
Right? We have... around 13 colleges and 5 schools in the main thing.
Lovely. And I heard that all of your educational institutes are largely from a philanthropy point of view.
No, most educational institutions are supposed to be philanthropical in their idea. If you're trying to make a lot of money out of it, then that's a big mistake as well. Yeah.
Okay. If someone is failing in the business right now, what message would you like to give them?
I mean, I would say the same thing again. Understand your business better. I mean, is there market for the product or service you're doing right now? Are you able to compete with other giants? We wanted to do a vegetarian restaurant. You know, I don't. I mean, I'm going to start it again right now.
You started Sambar. One, right? Sambar. And then
we are redoing it right now.
Oh, lovely.
So what happened was we did a massive giant. And then we are competing with people like Adyar Ananda Bhavan. Now, Adyar Ananda Bhavan has a central kitchen, right? They're producing around 2 lakh or 3 lakh idlis a day. Their idli cost is 2 rupees. My idli cost is 10 bucks. Sir.
True.
Right? That central kitchen, that kind of staff, that kind of everything plays a vital role. For them, it's just the product cost.
True.
Rest is negligible. For us, having, I took people from all the top brands like iDigiri and made them do it. I mean, it's not bad. But we did not understand that. Then we understood, oh, today a vegetarian QSR does much better than a quick service restaurant, QSR. That's much better than these big, big things, you know. And a lot of people are moving from there to here. So we are redoing it. But there's a lot of nuances which you need to understand before you start the business. But at the same time, you know, if you think that it's just a matter, a lot of people have that thing in their heart. If you believe you're right, your products are right, your marketing is right, your service is right, the experience is right, people are liking you, it is just a matter of time. I mean, they need to hold on and not give up.
Beautiful. Sam, what's with your bike and car madness? And what are some of the bikes and cars you proudly own?
So,
how many?
So, so the thing is, I'm not going to say how many and all because I'll get into problems. So, bikes, I have six bikes actually. Four of them super bikes. One, my dad gave me, still there down. So that is a 95. That's the first bike he gave me. And then one small bike, which I like to roam around here and there. So these are the bikes I use. Then I have, okay, the cars which I really like using are rather the BMW X7 and the Mercedes-Benz GLS 400E. But I also have a Toyota Hilux, which is the bigger version. Not the Hilux, I have the commuter. Then I have a Jeep, which I kind of use. All these four vehicles I use.
Wow, cool. I may just click some
photos. Madness is because I really love bikes.
I'm just going to show these photos on the display right now, yeah, so that people can see all of your cars and bike madness.
But I really love vehicles, you know. I love riding the bike every day morning, 6 o'clock. I ride the bike. I go to gym and the bike. So taking the super bike, because all these are 400 kilo bikes, you know, really,
yeah,
big,
it's crazy.
Monsters.
I've clicked photos with your bike down sometimes. Yeah, super. So you take different bikes to your gym?
Yeah, every day a different bike. Yeah,
that's nice. You should be very popular in your locality.
I don't like all that, you know. I'm quite shy about all this. I try to avoid meeting people. In fact, I don't like to.
Like, I think that's the best thing to do. I think that's the best thing to do as an entrepreneur. Just be in your own zone and keep working. Which is your most profitable venture in comparison to education, salon, fitness, food?
I think service is very profitable. I mean, any service, for the gym, it can be gym or it can be a salon service. It can be both are very profitable. If you do it right, it can be very profitable compared to our. See, education is not business. It is, you work in the education business, you can take a salary out of it, but you can't make a profit out of it. So that's how I look at it. That's how the government has defined it. So that's how I also follow it. But the food industry is not exactly a very very lucrative industry, to be honest, because too much competition, everybody wants to get into it, and everybody's getting into it, everybody's getting out of it.
So. Yeah, everybody wants to start one cafe and then shut it down.
Salon industry and gyms are really...
Salon and gyms.
Yeah. Nice. Any service for that matter, yeah.
I've seen this act of yours. Every time you open something new, you donate an X amount to an orphanage or a good cause. What's the ideology behind it?
I mean, I want to give some kind of a banda answer here, but it's nothing to do with that. I mean, I believe your company should be a service-oriented company. You know?
Right.
Your aim for the company should be very pure. You know, it's all not about money. And so it's not only that. In fact, last year we became eligible for CSR. We've been doing a lot of work with a lot of... I mean, see, my calling is, I don't like to come and say, okay, this is a CSR fund, I donate here and that makes me famous back in the day, put me back on the limelight, you know, run a magazine, put your cover, face on the cover every day. And that's not how I look at things. It should be real service, you know. So I work with destitute women, that is women who have been, men also for that matter. We work with Little Drops, we started working with them in 2001. We work with Premavasam, which is an orphanage, and for children, underprivileged children. We work with Mercy Home, which is again destitute women. There are women who have been beaten, raped, even in police stations for some time. I've heard a lot of stories of mentally retarded women. So there's nobody to care for them. And I personally believe you being strong is to protect people who are weak. It's not to bully other people and other things. So this is my calling, I think.
Wow, that's some really good thought there. What's been the most beautiful moment as a business owner?
I mean, see, for example, anytime you open a new business, like, you know, the first time you opened Jonas and it was packed and, you know, I was washing plates, you know, inside because we didn't have enough staff and it was so packed. So because the cooks were doing so much and the service boys were running and Prasad, I think my F&B director, was serving outside. And then I went and looked outside. There were people packed. And then I thought that today it's going to be 2 lakh rupees day. And we went to the till, it was just 20,000 rupees. I couldn't stop laughing myself. I said, that's the really hardest I've worked for, 20,000 bucks. But the thing is, all this, whenever you see your business packed, you know, whatever you're doing, accepted by people. Like when people say Slam is the best gym, and we are by far the best gym. We are, and when
best salon for that matter, Tony and guys.
We are a very, I won't say we are the best salon right now because we are competing with some people, but we are the biggest niche segment chain. We do the biggest business that way. But gym wise, we are right there because the trainers, our positioning. If you really are a gym freak, then you understand we are talking about lifting and real solid lifting. You know, in fact, we say get bigger, right. So, I mean, yeah. In fact, many of our brands, like for example, Haagen-Dazs is one of the best ice creams in the world, even on Chennai. And even for that, if you've been to Jonas, I mean, if you really like the food of European food, then you understand. Like Phoenix Mall is possibly the biggest. Any European for the European restaurant, I think Phoenix Mall does the highest across compared to all the other big brands that are there.
Right.
So we do much more than all of them.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I think acceptance of such things.
Acceptance of your ventures.
Yes, yeah. I've seen really sad moments also. When some of my staff died and, you know, and all this. One boy, especially Harish, you know, he passed away through cancer. And I really miss this boy. And my driver, who has been with me for 20 years, passed away last year. And we have seen good things. We have seen bad things also, yeah. But this acceptance of your business, I think, that gives, as an entrepreneur, that gives you biggest happiness. Go and tell people, I've opened something and it's packed.
True. Beautiful. Despite being busy, you handle your social media, you reply to emails and messages and all of this instantly. How?
I think that's the negative in me, actually, to be honest. I reply to all the calls, messages. If you look at my three things, that is, one is my Instagram messages, Facebook messages, my WhatsApps, two WhatsApps I have, and my mail IDs, three mail IDs. Everything is replied within 10 minutes and kept and folded, deleted unnecessarily, things are deleted. So I don't like to engage people saying, oh, Sam, sir, you're such an inspiration. Thank you very much, finished matter, that's all. I don't like to engage there. But I like to engage when people ask you for advice and people, there are of course a lot of work things that keep coming when you run such a big organization. So this is where I like to engage and talk, otherwise but social media, not as good as you, man. I mean, you're doing a lot of good jobs. But I mean, whenever I get time, just to post a picture here and there, just to keep you active, you know, here and there.
Super. But you said it's a negative thing.
Because too much time on the social media is a negative thing. Sometimes, you know, all this Instagram is quite addictive, in fact, you know. Because, I mean, I think it makes the world a little faster than it has to be. If it's a little slower, I think you enjoy everything. Like, for example, I don't know whether you... Do you ride a bike?
I don't ride a bike.
I've driven this car from Chennai to Pondi at least 10,000 times. I don't know how many. Last 25. I started driving 95. So how many years it is? So I'm 22 years old. But the thing is, 95 to now, what is 30 years?
30 years now. 30 years.
30 years. So 30 years, I've driven the car around maybe 10,000 times. But the minute I drove the bike one day to Pondi, you see so many things. The beaches, the sunset. You miss so many things in life, which I've never seen on the car in this 10,000 times. And they're beautiful. There are beaches where you look at it and you say, "What? Oh, Chennai is so beautiful." But you would have never seen it in the car.
Right.
There are so many things you miss in life because of this Instagram and all this. I think it's very negative, I think so. I think to a limited, you're able to control yourself. It's like you're drinking, you know. You're limited and you say if you one drink is okay, it's okay. But if you just keep on going on it and you're there all the time, then it's...
You're stuck in the loop. Yeah. Right, okay. So what was the revenue last year, Sam, as Paulson Group?
See, Paulson's group, we are very open about it. And I think, God's grace, COVID year 2021, we did 47 crores. 21-22, we did 72 crores plus GST. 22-23, we did 136 crores, including GST.
Lovely.
Paulson's this year is heading towards 190 crores, including GST, Paulson's alone. But then the group will touch 250 crores.
Amazing. Congratulations on this victory of yours.
And we are completely white. So I'm open to declare everything.
That I know. I mean, I'm so happy to see the declaration coming there. Okay, let's move on to some quick rapid questions related to business. I'm just going to ask you a quick question. I want some quick answers from you for the same. To become a franchisee king, one needs to?
Understand the business very well.
A salon dies because?
You're not treated your staff properly.
Three most important thing in running a successful restaurant is?
Quality, experience, nowadays quantity also.
How to get more people to subscribe to a gym? What's your best idea there?
Positioning is very important for gym. I mean, a lot of gyms are fitness gyms, but we are an extreme fitness gym here.
Right, amazing. Why do people accept defeat fast?
I think the fire is not there. I mean, to be very honest, if it's your dad's money, you're going to accept defeat first. But if it's your own money and you earned it, then you're not going to accept it.
Superb. When do you accept defeat?
Never.
Nice. If a businessman has to restart again after failure, what's your advice to them?
Understand the business better.
Nice. What's your advice to the millennial today?
Millennials are the new kids, is it? Yeah. I mean, learn from your elders.
Learn from your elders. Nice. Why? Who do you love the most and why?
You're putting me into problems now. I would play the same. My mom, yeah. My mom and, yeah. My
you,
mom
you is... You kept quoting her quite
yeah,
a few times.
My mom is such a sweet. Of course, my wife is there, but my mom, yeah.
Yeah, super. So you'd say that you love your mom more than your wife?
Yeah.
Hiding my face.
But I'm sure my wife will understand this when yeah, I say that because would, yeah. This 81-year-old man who has dedicated an entire life for others, so yeah.
Actor, entrepreneur, politician, philanthropist, which of your roles is dearest to you?
Just a normal, humble, ordinary guy.
Ordinary guy doing extraordinary things.
By the grace of God.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sam, for being part of this podcast. I think there was so much to learn for me, myself, and I'm sure my team is also inspired by you, and many of them who is going to watch this is going to be inspired, because not many people know this side of you.
Yeah.
Right? I think the story is something that people should watch and learn about you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Saurabh. Last thing is, as a person, if people don't know me, I'm one of the most jealous guys you'll ever meet.
Okay.
It's a disease you have, you know, like whenever I look at something doing better than me, I can't take it. I said, like when C3 was out there, the gym was there and they invested 4.5 crores and my gym was like 1.5 crore. I said, bloody well, how can they do this better than me? And my friends were clicking pictures and saying, this is the best. And I said, I'm coming. So we looked at processes, we looked at positioning, we looked at other things and, you know, we changed everything. Today, this gym last month has done 22 to 25 lakhs. And we have 6 lamps in this road now. C3 does 8 to 10 lakhs. I'm just telling you about the numbers.
So is jealousy good, bad?
Very good if it is helping to do business. Being paranoid, being jealous, being overthinking is all important. Because it doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you an extremely competitive person. You need to compete in everything you do.
Today, right? In this world, you mean to say. Maybe jealousy is sometimes the inspiration to do something great.
To compete better. Yeah, you need to look at people and say, bloody well, he's doing better.
I remember the conversation I had with you long time back, and it was about C3. And you did tell me that, how did you find the gym? I said, it's great. And you said that it may not survive for long because they have a very fancy equipment and all of that so fancy, but that's not how gym operates. It doesn't work like that. Is that what you told me at that point of time?
I did.
Yeah. So, and you were very clear about that. And I think they're not very, in comparison to Slam, I'm sure they're not very successful as much as Slam is.
We are right now at 58 gyms. We are opening 4 more this month, 4 more opening this month, 62. Hmm. And the thing is, it's about, one thing is about consistency, treating your staff well. These are all part of the Paulson's ideologies. But also the fact that the gym looks brand new. Today morning I worked out in Slam and I'm like, I really enjoy the Slam experience, which I have.
Which one? Slam?
Like Slam Kilpok. I work in Slam.
I think you love Slam Kilpok, no?
I love Slam. I love all Slams, but Slam Kilpok is my favorite. I've got a good coach there who takes good care of me.
Who is that coach there?
Sunil. He's a good guy because he puts up with all my tantrums. So.
Nice. Super. I think this whole point that you just raised right now, I think the last point was the killer point where you honestly confess that you're a jealous guy.
Very competitive guy. I mean, you look at something, I look at when Bones first opened and, you know, the first job was to take a franchise out of Bones called Cut It Out. So they had a brand, so we went to take a franchise, then we moved to Tone and Guy. So all these people used to say, we have 36 years experience, 38 years experience and all this. And I said, wait, I'll come.
Nice.
Even as of today, I think they sold out to JCB, but look at us.
I also see this, that you take a franchisee, then you learn the model and you start it on your own.
Which are you talking about? Toning Guy. Both Toning Guy and Essential belong to Toning Guy.
Okay, fantastic.
It's not our brand.
Right.
So we can't do that because it's a violation of them. But both Toning Guy and Essentials all belong to Toning Guy. Slam alone is because I've been gymming for a long time. I developed this brand. We wanted to work with Snap Fitness a long time back, but I think it didn't materialize. Because it's a very prefix program, which I didn't adhere to. I was thinking more of an extreme fitness where you go lift and, you know.
Super. Anything else that you would like to share about yourself to the audience?
No, nothing else.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sam, for being part of the show.
Yeah, and thank you very much for having me, Saurav. Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. So this was Sam Paul for you, the founder of the Paulsons Group. 250 crore worth revenue last year, 500 plus outlets, and that's been his journey. I'm sure from this podcast, you had learned a lot. Do share with me in the comments below, what was your biggest learning from this podcast? For many more such podcasts, don't forget to subscribe to this channel because we're going to bring some really interesting ones only for you.